The pandemic has made driving more dangerous. We're finding out why that is and potential ways to make getting behind the wheel safer. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now let's get a check on our fall membership campaign. I'm here with Jay Carlisle Larson. Hi, JC.
Good morning. How are you, Kate?
I'm doing well. And we're here to say at WPR, it is listener contributions that are the largest source of funding. And your gift keeps the programs you value, including the morning show, on the air. So make your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, it's always a good time to give, but it's an especially good time to give right now because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,000. This generous match is from current members, including a member in Belleville, and it means that they are going to match every dollar you give.
Love it. It is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support right now. It is a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio has a really unique funding model. It's a two-way street that creates a really high-quality product. So this is how it works. You voluntarily contribute, and in turn, you get back programs that are accountable only to you.
It is a truly amazing system. You get programs worth listening to precisely because you step up and support them. So make your contribution for the independent news, the information, the great talk discussions. Help pay for all the programs you enjoy on WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that member drives are a really important time to hear from you. If you haven't donated to WPR before, we'd especially like to hear from you right now.
Indeed, especially in this match, any amount you give makes an important difference, and giving takes just a few minutes of your time. So go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make a contribution of, say, $10 a month or $120. And when you do, you make the WPR programs you count on every day possible.
My life would be diminished without Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, I wouldn't want to do without it. I mean, from my lay point of view, it's beholden to no one, and it has people working for it who love radio and love what they're doing and love who they work for. You hope that people's character says, this is valuable to me, I need to support it.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jay Carlisle Larson. Your support today during the fall member drive, it makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And giving to WPR is really easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, maybe $10 a month.
And that donation, it comes back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support. Get in on the match at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
And as Kate just mentioned, we do have this dollar-for-dollar match in effect up to $4,000. So give now. Take advantage of this match because your $10 is going to become $20. Mm-hmm. And maybe $100 is going to become $200. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And why not, you know, support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the new WPR baseball cap. It will be your new fall favorite accessory no matter where you go. So give $10 a month or more. Ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And hey, you can also become a sustainer. It's really easy to set up. And basically what it is that you will make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You can set that up at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And that is going to provide reliable support for programs just like The Morning Show that you listen to every single day.
Deborah in Waukesha says, I'm donating because we love waking up to WPR. We love being your alarm clock, Deborah. Your gift is so important right now at WPR.org. And thanks. Now to reckless driving and what to do about the nationwide surge in deadly car crashes. Cars killed more than 42,000 people last year. Millions were injured. That's preliminary data from the nonprofit National Safety Council. Milwaukee Common Council President Cavalier Johnson told us recently that his number one goal as the potential acting mayor of the city is to address reckless driving.
We've seen in this community far too often that people make the choice to get behind the wheel of a vehicle, drive recklessly, and the results are catastrophic.
The Milwaukee Police Department created a traffic safety unit earlier this year. Why do you think traffic fatalities are getting worse? What is it like for you on the roads? Conversation is here, 800-642-1234. Journalist Marina Bolotnikova reported on the sharp increase in car accidents for Vox. Marina, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, start out by explaining, you know, what is going on. You looked at all of the national data here and put this, you know, put this into perspective, more than 42,000 people. How does that compare?
Yeah, so all the data for 2020 and 2021 are still preliminary, but they will end up being quite close to what the final numbers are. And yes, like you said, cars killed more than 42,000 Americans in 2020. That's about an 8% increase from 39,000 in 2019. What's really alarming is it's continued to increase in 2021. So for the first 6 months of this year, from January to June, there's been a 16% increase in car deaths from the same period last year. So about 21,400 people were killed by cars from January to June, compared to 18,400 last year.
So it's not leveling off at all.
Yeah, no, it's not. And our total mileage in 2021 is still down a bit from the pre-pandemic norm in 2019, but it's getting close to pre-pandemic levels.
Have emptier roads or driving a lot less, has that maybe empowered more drivers to drive faster or drive distracted?
Yes. So experts are still trying to understand all the factors involved. You know, this is a big nationwide trend that's kind of hard to understand right away. But by far the most important factor seems to be that with so much less driving and particularly less driving during a predictable, you know, 9 to 5 rush hour. The roads were less congested. That's enabled people to go faster and to speed. And speed is the decisive factor in how dangerous a car crashes. It also makes a crash more likely to happen in the first place because your stopping distances are longer and it makes it easier to lose control of the car. There's also some evidence to suggest that there was an increase in drunk driving and in people not wearing seat belts. It's not entirely clear whether those things truly increased last year because there are always some people who are drunk driving and not wearing seat belts, or whether those were just more likely to result in death and be represented in the death counts along with higher speeds.
Well, clearly signs of risky behavior all over the place. Is that what you're kind of seeing?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a complex question because in the United States, our car prevention strategy has focused so much on personal responsibility, you know, the idea of people driving recklessly, you know, and so we encourage people to follow the speed limit, obey traffic laws, not drive drunk, and so on. And of course, all those things are good. I would never tell someone to not make every effort to drive responsibly. But I think putting the onus on individuals to prevent crashes has been, has really been a failing strategy. And we see that in how high America's death rate is compared to other countries. You know, cars here kill Americans at twice the rate they kill Canadians and Australians, three times the rate they kill Germans, and six times the rate they kill Norwegians. And part of the reason for that is because Americans simply drive more than people in those countries. But that alone does not explain the whole difference. Even on a per miles driven basis, we're doing a lot worse than peer countries.
Well, let's bring in Tom in Burlington with thoughts on this. Tom, hi.
I ride a bicycle, and people are so rude to me that I'd like to invent a blob gun, and I put this on the front of my gun, my car, my bike.
So Tom is also saying that, you know, cyclists are at risk as well when these drivers are engaging in these, you know, really risky behavior, like, driving all over the place and at very fast speeds, Marina.
Yeah, and bikers and pedestrians definitely are the most vulnerable road users. Not all drivers, are hospitable to the idea of sharing the road with bikers. There's been in the last decade, there's been a really large increase in pedestrian deaths. The number of pedestrians killed by cars has gone up about 50% between 2010 and 2020. I think centering the experiences of vulnerable road users like cyclists and pedestrians is the best thing we can do for traffic safety for everyone.
Journalist Marina Bolotnikova has been reporting on the spike in car accident deaths. What are your thoughts about the increase? Are you in favor of redesigning roads, putting up more ticket cameras? What would make our roads safer? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead on the Ideas Network. Risky driving has become more common in the pandemic. We're talking about what can be done, what actions to take here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's get a check on our fall membership drive. I'm here with Jay Carlisle-Larson. Your gift right now, super important, and that's because gifts from people like you are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. You keep The Morning Show and all the shows you enjoy going strong. So invest in your future listening now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, we have this dollar for dollar match in effect right now from current members, including a member in Belleville. So here is just some simple math. Your gift of $50 becomes $100. $100 becomes $200, and so on and so forth. So take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio's when you give right now at WPR.org or when you call 888-202-2552.
And you know, every day our team works hard to bring you a great morning of radio, and that is truly a pleasure because we know that you're curious and intelligent. We also know you like to have fun and enjoy all that Wisconsin has to offer.
And a big thank you for being a great audience and for being the reason we do what we do. And you can give one more thing, your financial support. Your support makes these mornings possible. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
More than 25,000 WPR members are proud sustainers. And that means that they make ongoing monthly gifts to Wisconsin Public Radio.
You too can provide a reliable stream of funding for the programs you care about, like The Morning Show. So become a sustainer right now. Choose an amount, maybe $10 or $20 a month, and set it up to be ongoing. It's really easy to do at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Makes me feel very good to be a sustainer.
Makes me feel like I'm a part of what's happening.
I know it's a valuable service.
I like being a sustainer because it helps contribute to the Wisconsin idea.
I like being a sustainer because I just like knowing that my money will be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio for years to come.
go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with J. Carlisle Larson. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio, it keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution, say, is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we truly count on your gift.
And now is the time. Give right now while you're thinking about it, maybe before you head off to work, before you get your day started. It really just takes a few minutes to contribute.
Absolutely. And you'll have that really good glow, that good feeling of supporting the programs you love. So see what that's like right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can double your glow and you can double your impact because we have this dollar for dollar match, which is still in effect. It goes up to about $4,000. So give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And of course, your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Michael in Sun Prairie who said, I'm a longtime listener and a first-time sustainer. Well, welcome to the WPR team, Michael. Maybe today you want to become a sustainer as well. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.
Traffic deaths are rising despite us driving less. According to the latest data released by the National Traffic Highway Safety Administration, more than 8,700 people died in vehicle crashes in the first 3 months of this year. That's up 10% compared to the same quarter last year. We have journalist Marina Bolotnikova, who wrote about the surge in fatal traffic crashes for Vox, and Marina stays with us. Let's take a call now. Mark is joining us from West Bend. Hi, Mark. What are your thoughts? Oh, hi, Mark. Can you hear us? And I don't think we have Mark. Are you there? Nope, he's not there. Marina, Mark wanted to know, how much does road rage play into this? Noticed a lot of drivers who are pretty angry, Mark says, on their commute.
Road rage. There is definitely some evidence to suggest that road rage was up during the pandemic too. I don't think there's really clear evidence into how much exactly that translated into increased death rates, but one traffic expert I talked to was telling me about, this idea that people kind of channel their emotions, their emotional needs or things that they're lacking, in their lives into how they're driving. And I think there is something to the idea that our collective, anger and despair during the pandemic affected how people are driving.
Well, let's look at possible solutions. And you wrote about rethinking road design. How can roads be redesigned to encourage safer driving?
Yes. So I was saying before the break that focusing on individual responsibility hasn't worked. And I really want to stress that our car death rate in the US is so high. Cars kill about the same number of people as guns in this country, about 40,000 a year. And so an important point of comparison is that the European Union didn't see a comparable increase in car deaths in 2020. They actually saw a decrease, and that should tell us that there's something specific about the American environment that's causing that's causing so many people to die. In the United States, our most dangerous roads are what are called strodes by some people in the traffic safety community, because they try to be both a street and a road at the same time, but do neither well. These are roads like East Washington, here in Madison, for example, which has relatively high speeds and also many intersections with a lot of starting and stopping and shared space with pedestrians and bikers. And these, you know, these conditions create many points of conflict, which contribute to crashes and deaths. Intersection crashes are happening all the time on Washington. Traffic on these roads like needs to be slowed down. There's no doubt about that. The problem with just lowering the speed limit is that driving is a subconscious activity. People don't really choose how fast they drive based on the posted speed limit. You know, we naturally adjust speed based on how wide the road is, how straight it is, how much clear space there is. It's like if you've ever noticed when you're driving in a place with narrow roads, with a lot of things going on in the street, maybe a lot of density and things in the median, that naturally forces you to slow down. This is a design principle that's been very successful in many European countries at slowing down traffic. I think Americans might have the idea that you know, that Europeans are like naturally predisposed to this, but actually a lot of European countries had very high car death rates, in earlier in the 20th century, just as the US did, and they've successfully brought it down. So this is a design, you know, broadly a design principle called traffic calming. It can involve things like making roads narrower, installing more lanes just by using some road paint to add a left turn lane or a bike lane, adding curbs to roads and medians. Basically, the more complexity that can be added to a road that makes the driver pay attention, the more it will slow things down. It's important to note that none of what I'm saying applies to interstates. Mm-hmm. So interstates don't have intersections. They don't have pedestrians or bikes. They're entirely designed for car traffic. And, you know, even though the speeds on interstates are so high, they're actually much safer than regular roads. Because of that, they don't have all of those points of conflict. But when we're talking about streets that people are turning off of, you know, that provide access to shopping centers and people's homes and things of that kind, those are, you know, those complex human environments cannot tolerate high speeds.
Marina, thank you for sharing your reporting with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Journalist Marina Bolotnikova, her article in Vox is called America's Car Crash Epidemic. We have a link to her reporting at wpr.org/mornings. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.